Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for May 3rd. It is a freedom-loving fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. It is hour two of two, and we're talking about the National Day of Prayer. First hour, the good Sheriff Richard Mack was with us, CSPOA.org. And we talked about representatives from many large faiths. Remember that many large faiths idea, ladies and gentlemen. Gathered on Thursday at the White House in Washington in recognition of the National Day of Prayer ceremony. The National Day of Prayer, Donald Trump says he's a champion for religious freedom. You can now speak your mind and speak it freely. Trump touts new faith-based protections in the National Day of Prayer ceremony. Trump cites power of prayer, announces conscience protections. Prayer works miracles, and prayer saves lives. Wow. That's pretty cool. So there's a lot going on. And I asked this right before the end of the last hour. We got ended too early there, Kurt. But I just want to say, have you heard a president, even including Ronald Reagan, speak this boldly and nobly and independently and in defense without apology of prayer and faith and solutions, that being part of the solutions? I haven't. Not even Reagan, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point, Sam. And that's the thing that is so shocking to me, we've talked about this seems like forever, and that is he who owns the media makes the rules. But I would venture to say, if I went today to talk to 100 people, that I'd be lucky to find 5 or less that were even aware, number one, that was the National Day of Prayer, and that anything happened with the president that, any of that even occurred, simply because there's so much other, I guess you could call them bread and circuses or whatever, things to keep the American people busy looking over somewhere else and missing the most important stuff.
Great point. I want to talk a little bit more about the Nullify Now movement, ladies and gentlemen, because I want you to understand that the checks and balances by our founding fathers are brilliant. And they provide many ways to nullify out-of-control belligerence. So I go back to WND. They just do one of the most phenomenal jobs on the news of any organization. And our prayers are with Joseph Farah, who did have a stroke, too, that he recovers and all is well. His wife leading the organization, along with many others, doing a phenomenal job. But I go back to 2010, where I found an article that I think is absolutely interesting and relevant right now. Headline says, National Day of Prayer ruled unconstitutional. Art Moore writes for WND with the details, Kurt. Let's break this down a little bit, then we'll talk more about it, shall we?
Very good point, Sam. Yeah, and, in this story, it says the subheadline, you read the main one, says, federal judge strikes down law signed by President Truman. Federal District Court in Wisconsin, ruled the National Day of Prayer unconstitutional. This U.S. District Judge is Barbara B. Crabb, a little crabby, I think, but they issued issued the decision in a case filed by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the FFRF guys. And by the way, they're based in Wisconsin. They're what they call an atheist and agnostic group. Well, that's what WorldNet Daily calls them. I would tell you somebody else would call them like freedom seekers or something like that. They challenged the constitutionality of this 1988 federal law. They say this law gives the president the authority to designate the first Thursday in May as a national day of prayer. And this judge, Mrs. Crabb, appointed the court in 1979 by President Carter, determined the statute violates the First Amendment's Establishment Clause, which says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. In her opinion, the article continues, Crabb wrote that in her view of case law, government involvement in prayer may be consistent with the Establishment Clause when the government's conduct serves a significant secular purpose and is not a call for religious action on the part of citizens. She cited a high-profile Ten Commandments case. You know, it goes on, Sam, but the bottom line is...
Well, and here's the bottom line, what I want to draw from it. So in 2010, we got a district whacked out judge saying, hey, man, the national prayer is unconstitutional because, you know, hey, the church, the government can't establish a religion. Look, there in 2019, just yesterday, there was a bunch of different faiths represented. I'm not so sure how the government would be, you know, creating a religion or picking a faith. That wasn't done at all. There were many faiths represented. And the president's free to do what he wants, and people are free to attend. It was a private sector held event, but the White House decided to support it and be part of it. Donald has every First Amendment right to do so. But here's the important point that I want to get across. You know, you're told all these district judges shut down the Donald every time, everywhere he goes. They just shut him down, right?
Yep, that's right.
Man, how come this district judge then back in 2010 didn't just shut down national prayer?
That's
and the answer
point.
Is because they did exactly what Kirk Crosby says with regards to Bibles and prayer in school. What are they going to do if you bow your head and just start praying? What are they going to do if you bring your Bible to school? What are they going to do if you just say, Judge, you're out of control. You're a nutcase. And we just continue to have the National Day of Prayer. And that's what we've done in this case. And it's a perfect nullification example, Kurt. It's perfect.
That's right. And the article from WorldNet Daily continues. It has Jay Sekulow, who, by the way, at that time was they call him the chief counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice, but he is also the president's attorney at this time, Sam. And he said he called the decision flawed and expressed confidence it will be overturned. And he said it's unfortunate that this court failed to understand that a day set aside for prayer for the country represents a time-honored tradition that embraces
the
First Amendment.
Yeah, and President Trump brought up that it happened before we even ratified the Constitution, ladies and gentlemen, back in the Declaration of Independence days, people. Congress was calling for that, right?
Good point, Sam.
So Jay's right. Kurt, you're right. Donald's right. WorldNet Daily's right. And I wanted to highlight this because how many people are going to really do the digging and really bring this stuff up, Kurt? Now, I don't know if this case has been overturned by this whacked out judge in Wisconsin or not. Again, it just takes so much digging. I'm not even sure where to dig or how to follow.
Well, yeah,
and
but
find
you
it,
could
you know?
Basically say it's overturned because
it's been nullified.
The president. Yeah, that's right.
Good by not only the president, but by good people of faith all over this country. Now, Donald's part of it and good for him. But even in the Barack days, you know, if this is 2010, you had a bunch of Barack abuse even then, too. And Barack didn't manage to shut it down either. Right? So now I think that Donald has told you correctly. The media has become an enemy of the people because they're not even covering this, Kurt. But I submit to you that Congress is becoming an enemy of the people. Okay, Kurt, back in the day, Congress is the one calling for this prayer, right?
Good point.
All right. Now, here's what you get. Today, remember we warned you about H.R. 5. Remember that one, Kurt?
Yes, sir.
H.R. 5 is the promotion of the gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender agenda, and it's a hardcore push against Christians, right? Well, it turns out on Wednesday, the House Judiciary Committee passed H.R. 5 by 22 votes to 10. This was after rejecting a religious freedom amendment, Kurt. H.R. 5 will affect every person in America with the threat of financial ruin. We got to stop this bill. Matt Staver brings this to our attention. So see, we're keeping an eye on these bills, but you got Congress that's literally becoming an enemy of the people, Kurt. They're flat out, along with the media, they're just rejecting this pro-life, pro-prayer, we can mention God without fear of retribution. Well, while Donald's telling you that we can promote God and he's doing his best to protect God and free speech and your rights, Congress is doubling down and rejecting all this stuff at every turn. It's amazing. And who's going to highlight that? Donald, again, is on the right side of this coin. Kurt, he really is. What gives with this stuff, man? This is important. Now, just because this judge said that the National Day of Prayer was ruled unconstitutional, it doesn't mean it's true. And that's kind of what we hear in the mainstream press. Whenever there's a situation where a judge rules on something, everybody believes, well, okay, that's the bottom line. That's the end of the road here. That's the truth. This proves that isn't true, Kurt. Right?
Yes, it does.
This absolutely doubles down and proves it.
Like you say, the principle of nullification that our friend Tom Woods brought forward in his book, Nullification, and so many of these other things, you know, with the Patrick Henry story or whatever. There's plenty of ways, and that's another thing to highlight here, is the beauties of our system. Instead of having this all-powerful government in one thing, it's separated into these branches, and so then you can have this battle going on, and you'd certainly like to have freedom being promoted in all of them, but at least if you can get a little bit somewhere, you can kind of withstand the powerful push of the other side.
All right, so in 2010, this crab lady basically said it was unconstitutional. In 2011, that got overturned, Kurt. I'm doing research on the fly right now. CBS has the piece. Okay? It says it is. Today, this is 2011, a federal appeals court voted 3-0 to overturn that ruling. The group challenging didn't have standing. It is constitutional, says the courts.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, so a lot of coverage about the National Day of Prayer being unconstitutional. Not a lot of coverage in a year later. National Day of Prayer ruled constitutional. 2011, CBS News with the piece. Good for them, Kurt. It's a good reality check about when good people stand up, what happens. You got this atheist group that tried to shut it down, and then you got a bunch of good people that stood up and said, oh, wait a minute, we're not doing that. And the battle rages on today. In fact, a sheriff is standing up for In God We Trust, too, Kurt.
Well, that's exactly right, Sam. And, you know, in this case, I mean, imagine the guy had his cop cars. He said he wanted In God We Trust decal on there. And boy, this is in Missouri. This happened back in 2015, but, you know, to me, it's you know, kind of news for now. It says Missouri Sheriff's Department that decided to slap "In God We Trust" decals on patrol cars. The same motto, the WorldNet Daily Peace says, that blares on all U.S. currency has inadvertently sparked a firestorm of criticism from those who think the saying doesn't belong on government property. Anyway, I guess it's down there in Stone County Department in the Ozarks. Sheriff Doug Rader said Fox News reported the evidence Bible is now available and includes, besides the King James Version, well, anyway, they said that many are unhappy with this thing. Now, are you unhappy that they put "In God We Trust"?
I think it's phenomenal.
I mean, I'm not too unhappy about that. Now, others questioned who paid for the decals, taxpayers or private entity. And the sheriff explained, "We used money from local business donations." That's what he said. You know, he also said the decals don't cross any constitutional boundaries. They tout the same message used on the currency. By the way, they did that starting in 1956, just in case you want to know. He said there's been no better time than now to proudly display our national motto.
See, there's people standing up, ladies and gentlemen, all across this country, and the mainstream press, for the most part, just simply not willing to cover it. But the mainstream press is kind of doing the strange opposite, weird stuff. What's this guy's name? Former Mayor Pete? Is that who this guy is, Kurt?
That's right.
How do you say that guy's last name?
I don't know. You just want to call him Mayor Pete, you know, because that you can B-U-T-T-I-G-I-E-G.
Mayor Peter B., ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Time Magazine now says that Mayor Peter Buttigieg could vanquish America's demons. And I'm thinking, well, wait, let's see.
Isn't this bringing in the demons, Kurt?
Yeah, so this is like the opposite once again, you know. I mean, where good gets called evil and evil gets called good, and it's Time Magazine. And one more reason, I don't read Time Magazine.
So just what are America's demons? See, that's where, again, you know, we talk a lot about the same thing as the mainstream press. The problem is when you and I talk about it, we mean a certain thing, Kurt. When they talk about it, you know, they mean something entirely different. So, to me, the demons would be all the perversions that are being promoted against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's law. And any, you know, attack on God and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and on the commandments we've been given and the guidelines and the clarity of truth, like male and female created he them, and there's only two genders and all this kind of stuff. Anytime we stand for that, that's good. And anytime we reject that, I would call that the demons that they're bringing in. But these guys, when they make a headline like this, they think totally different. Their demons, Kurt, are you and me. You want to know why?
Because we're
bigoted and haters and talking about God and promoting the Ten Commandments and acting like there's only two genders. And, you know, I mean, how crazy can you get? See, we don't even agree on what a demon is, Kurt.
Yep. Good point, Sam.
With these people. But I look at this and I am just shocked as I study the news right now. All right. So while we're all talking about God and promoting freedom and liberty and safety and stability and kind of going back in the story archives to highlight some of the points we're making, Time Magazine's literally saying Pete's the guy to get rid of the demons. What? Wow.
Yeah,
now, while that's going on, Facebook bars seven fiery voices. They say mostly rightist. I don't know if that's a word.
Well,
you know, rightist?
One's on the right, probably.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what he means. But what do you think, Kurt? Do you know who they got rid of?
Let's see. I know it was Alex Jones. I can't remember some of the different ones, but, you know, they're going to protect their, you know, folks from the bad news sources. You know, good old Facebook, right?
Yeah, headline says
Rush
Facebook bans
Facebook.
Louis Farrakhan, Alex Jones, and others from its main service and from Instagram say they violated the company's ban against hate and violence. Now, Kurt, what do you say to that? I got an interesting twist on this one.
I can say this, that Facebook is, you know, whatever you want to call it, semi-private. I do agree that the government in many ways seems to promote it and push it or whatever. But so they should be able to, you know, basically allow for what whoever they want on there. Now, what we would recommend is that we embrace other, you know, competition, if you will, ones that maybe don't promote the evil that Facebook does, but do promote the freedom and things that we hope to see, that kind of thing, you know.
Go ahead, Sam. Now, Joe Rogan, Paul Nalen, we know Paul Nalen, Paul Joseph Watson, Alex Jones,
mm-hmm.
It's just crazy. Now, do you believe all these people are violent, Kurt?
Well, they're going to say that, you know, they talk about God, you know, and freedom and patriotism and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so that's a dangerous thing, you know, right?
Yeah. Now, I have heard a lot from Paul Nalen. And I don't believe the guy's been promoting violence, Kurt.
He's been nailing down the stories, huh?
Well, yeah. You know, the way you spell his name is kind of weird, but N-E-H-L-L-E-N. No,
N-E-H-L-L-E-N.
You know.
Yeah.
Milo Yiannopoulos, or however you say that guy's name.
Yeah.
Paul Joseph Watson.
Our old buddy Milo. Yeah.
Laura Loomer. Along with Alex Jones and those guys. So,
yeah. Imagine if the tables were turned, Sam, and, you know, you and I were running, you know, something called Facebook Liberty or something, and we said, man, there's no more Pelosi, no more Obama. We're not going to have the Clintons on here. They would cry and say, look, you guys are censoring us, right?
Heck yeah.
They would say freedom of speech, you know, it's just not fair, you know. But somehow they can just ban people, right?
Yeah. Now, you would say, well, hey, they got their own private thing. They can do what they want. My response is, yeah, but there's big government money behind this, Kurt. So Louis Farrakhan, Alex Jones, Paul Nalen, Milo Yiannopoulos, Paul Joseph Watson, and Laura Loomer. Is that seven?
Sounds about right. Yeah.
You know, those are the people. I just find that fascinating. Louis Farrakhan, Alex Jones, Paul Nalen, that's three. Milo, that's four. Paul Joseph Watson, five. Laura Loomer, that's six. I'm still looking for the seventh one, Kurt.
Well, yeah, but, you know, this is the day where, like, 2 + 2 can be 5 or 3.
Why don't you help me find out who the seventh one is, man?
Oh, Sam. Well, I was just seeing this little headline from NPR. Right-wing conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. Now, that's not like an NPR twisted way of saying him, right? Is it?
No, there you go.
That's unbiased for sure.
Now, this is how they do it. And again, I don't find a lot of these people. Like, I think Alex Jones is a little bit more radical than I would like. But I wouldn't put him in the class of a Louis Farrakhan. Although I'm not here to run around and violate Louis Farrakhan's free speech either, Kurt. I don't know Louis. I'm not friends with Louis. I think the guy's a nutcase, and I think Louis personally is kind of violent, at least his rhetoric is. But I got a question. Is it like you have your right to free speech, but your rhetoric can't suggest violence? Where's the line drawn, right? Who's in charge around here? You know, when they say against hate and violence, man, I think there's a lot of haters on these platforms that are being, well, they're being treated with kid gloves, to say the least. All right, Sam and Kurt in seconds, breaking it down just for you.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. The government's April jobs report is out, and it shows the unemployment rate for the nation at the lowest level since December of 1969, dropping 0.2% to 3.6. And the jobs report also beat expectations for jobs created, with around 263,000 new jobs last month, when the forecasts were for about 185,000. A man who was plotting to bomb the New York City subway system 10 years ago will soon be a free man. Najibullah Zazi, who faced life in prison, ended up being given 10 years, which essentially amounts to time he's already served. But authorities say for almost a decade, he's cooperated with other investigations into terrorist groups, and his lawyer says he's a transformed man who unequivocally repudiates radical Islam now. And this is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year. A month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
SpaceX acknowledging that the company's Crew Dragon capsule was destroyed last weekend by an explosion during a test firing. As had been suspected by observers, it happened on Saturday during activation of the spacecraft's Super Draco thrusters, which are used to land the craft as part of a launch escape system. The company says the explosion should not have any effect, though, on SpaceX's Cargo Dragon capsules going forward. There have been a lot of deadly falls by visitors to the Grand Canyon lately. Now, a National Park spokesman says a visitor in Hawaii is recovering after surviving a fall into a volcano.
He was about 70 feet below the edge of the cliff where his fall had been arrested by a small ledge, preventing him from falling the rest of the 300 feet to the bottom of the caldera, likely saving his life.
The man is said to be seriously injured after that Wednesday night tumble into the Kilauea volcano. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, so there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, they're ratcheting up the shutdown of all things Christian is where it's going to go. Right now, they can attack an Alex Jones and a Louis Farrakhan because they're some of the most extreme voices out there. Now, am I saying they don't have a right to their free speech? No, I'm not. Am I saying they should be shut down from Facebook? I don't think so, but Facebook is a private organization. Can do what it wants. The conservatives need to learn something about this. I've been telling you this for years. You want your own institution? You better make one, okay? Yeah, everybody else is like, Sam, why aren't you on Facebook and YouTube? And well, I am on Facebook. I am on Twitter a little bit. I don't tweet much. I just find those mainstream places not the best place for me to get out my news. Well, Sam, you could be so much bigger if you would. That's right. I could also lose all my revenue. So Alex Jones and Louis Farrakhan and Paul Nalin and Milo Yiannopoulos, Paul Joseph Watson, Laura Loomer, just to name a few, they're all now having a financial crunch, Kurt, because Facebook and Google have shut them down, and it's causing all kinds of problems with their finances. So now I want to avoid that like the plague. But speaking along the same lines, headline says 2020 elections, or election 2020, Charlottesville, fraud, definition of fake news, says Ann Coulter. Kurt, she's spot on this one.
Well, yeah, and Ann has been a little less of a, you know, President Trump supporter in the last little while. You know,
and I get the reasons to praise Donald. I also get her points, though.
Yeah, in this case, you know, she's basically just saying, look, you know, this tells us that life is, you know, so good for the fabulous people on the coast, the only group the Democrat Party really cares about, that they can afford to devote themselves to crazy fantasies that make them feel morally superior to other people. She says the Democratic Party used to be about protecting workers' wages. Now the pitch is, I will suck up more to the New York Times editorial page. She says, I'm in no mood to defend Trump, you know, and we were just mentioning that. But the media's wholesale lying about Charlottesville is too much for any sane person to take. Everything the media say about it is the very definition of fake news. She says, no human being, dead or alive, has condemned white supremacists more than Trump has. I can't begin to quote all the times he has done so, or this column would be the length of a book. You know, and then she outlines a whole bunch of them, even though, you know, she says, hey, man, I can't put them all in here. But she also, you know, she says that's when twits. She calls Marco Rubio and Mitt Romney twits. And I just got to agree with her, you know, because she says, hey, they get used by these guys to show that, hey, look, there's the Republicans don't agree with President Trump, you know. And she mentions how, when they call President Trump, you know, just not good enough and all this stuff, she says, well, Trump's statements were a lot more condemnatory than any Obama statements on either the Dallas cop killer or the Muslim who murdered 13 people at Fort Hood. She says Obama, 2 days after a black supremacist gunned down 5 policemen during a BLM protest against the police, he said, I think it's very hard to untangle the motives of this shooter. Then she says, Obama, the day after the massacre at Fort Hood with an assailant shouting, Alu Allahu Akbar, she said, quote, Obama saying this, I would caution against jumping to conclusions until we have all the facts. She says, back to Trump's shockingly inadequate response to violence in Charlottesville. Later that day, the president reiterated the color or creed point and condemned the, quote, hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides, end quote. So, you know, she's pointing out some real good points, don't you think, Sam?
I think so, and I think she's spot on this, but I find it fascinating how, again, this news literally, Kurt, gets no traction.
Yeah.
I mean, it's shocking, right?
Well, and I believe this is why she does this. She was like, look, you know, it's insane. I mean, I'm really not going to protect the president because this is what I think she's saying is she's been beat up pretty good by her normal support of the president in the early days. And she's, you know, less than pleased with, you know, the wall and a number of other things, you know, that he promised. But she's also saying, look, you know, you guys are saying that, you know, the president's a white nationalist and all these, you know, skinhead and neo-Nazi and all this stuff. And, you know, it's not true. And look at what Obama said when these bad things happen and how you treated him and how you're treating the president. And then right at the end of the story from her, she says, you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and white nationalists because they should be condemned totally, but you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay, and the press has treated them absolutely unfairly. So, and then she's quoting President Trump, says, now in the other group also, you had some fine people, but you also had troublemakers. And you see them come from the black with the black outfits and with the helmets and with the baseball bats. You had a lot of bad people in the other group. She's quoting President Trump. Here's the actual question from a reporter right after that. Quote, sir, I just didn't understand what you were saying. You were saying the press has treated white nationalists unfairly? And she finishes, she says, that idiocy has now been enshrined as a canonical belief of the Democratic Party, worthy of launching a presidential campaign. life must be great on the coast.
Anyway, you know, Ann does a great job, and she's coming back to realizing, you know what, Donald got some problems, and there's some failings in the Donald. I agree. And I don't mind highlighting them from time to time if we need to help somebody try to change the game or to help somebody try to, you know, maybe make a difference. That's valuable. It's also valuable, though, not to go too negative. And it's also valuable to make sure that, you know what, we give credit where credit's due. And this is an example. Okay, Joe Biden launched his presidential campaign talking about Charlottesville. And the reason they want to do that is because they can tie all that to this white supremacist lie the mainstream press has been able to spin. For example, Trump said this, quote, "We all must be united and condemn all that hate stands for. There is no place for this kind of violence in America. Let's come together as one. We must remember this truth. No matter our color, our creed, our religion, or political party, we are all Americans first." All right? And so Donald, in my opinion, spoke out. He said, look, there's guilty people on both sides of this thing in Charlottesville. It's a horrible thing. It should stop. But they continue to relentlessly paint it as a white supremacist event. It's not true at all. A lot of people were there just to defend the statues. Okay? A lot of people were there who meant well. They got a permit, these quote white groups, whatever you want to call them, these people that want to defend the statues. And the other side didn't get a permit. But the cops were derelict in their duty and let a violent breakout occur. Most of the violence was on the side of the ne'er-do-wells, the liberals, the extremists, the Black Panthers, the whatever. You know, a lot of conservatives that were there defended themselves, and they're the ones that got in trouble. It's an absolute fraudulent narrative, not only about what happened, but about what Donald did and said. And so now Joe Biden really backing into this is his playing card for 2020 that, hey, Donald's a racist. Charlottesville was a racist event. Donald didn't do enough to stand against it. Donald's part of it. Donald's signaling to the white supremacist movement. And they go on and on and on and on. And so I appreciate Ann Coulter's highlighting this. We need to be very careful when Joe Biden starts out that way, because you know that's going to be their narrative. Because they know Americans will just run for the hills if you say white supremacist. Run for the hills if you trigger the word Nazi and suggest that these people are hate-filled. Well, this, in conjunction with shutting down seven people, and I'm not even defenders of the seven people necessarily, Kurt, but I am saying, look at that. And when you shut down those seven, plus you start to have Joe Biden come off on this narrative, if Donald's not careful, he's fixing to get spanked on this topic. Right?
It's a great point. He's going to be praying with the prayer folks, and the standard media is going to be going at him without talking about that, right, Sam?
Yeah, and that's kind of the problem. That's kind of the problem that I see here is how they're going about this discussion. All right, we got a lot more to cover, ladies and gentlemen. Not a lot of time to do it in, man. Time flies when you're having fun, hard-hitting talk on your radio. Kurt Cosby, Sam Bushman. This half hour is brought to you in part by Raw Honey, delivered directly to your door. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, 801-669-2211, or localhoneyman.com on the internet.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, it ain't gonna happen. A book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large, that they have to spend a little bit less. Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, hard-hitting talk continues. We all must be united and condemn all that hate stands for. We must remember this truth. No matter our color, our creed, our religion, or political party, we all are Americans first, and we must stand together. All right, that's good news from President Trump, but the mainstream press not highlighting it. I'm telling you, they're fixing the double down and call everybody a racist. Anybody who's part of the Republican Party, anybody who's white, anybody who backs Donald, you're all racists. And that'll be the 2020 narrative for the failed Democrats and the failed liberal socialist swamp monsters. They'll either, one, be part of the attack like that, dishonest as all get out, and or they'll remain silent, as most swamp monster Republicans are. By the way, though, there's this Volusia County, Florida sheriff. He's in the news. His name is Mike Chitwood, Kurt.
Mr. Mike Chitwood in the news, Sam. And it's cool to see these sheriffs, doing their thing. In this case, let me see if I can find him. We did the In God We Trust sheriff.
Yep. Which, this is a different guy. Anyway, he urges churchgoers to pack it, buddy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember this one. Isn't that cool? I mean, he's not going to get much coverage for this, but that's what he said. And it's a WorldNet Daily piece. At least they bring it forward. It was sourced from Fox 35 in Orlando. And, basically, he wants potential attackers to know that if they ambush a church in his county, this is his response to this recent shootings there in California. They going to expect that the congregation is going to shoot back. He strengthened his county's houses of worship by encouraging leaders to arm members of the congregation. He said, we're not going to get there. Police aren't going to get there to stop it. It's going to have to be stopped by somebody inside that church.
There you go.
Imagine that. Volusia County, V-O-L-U-S-I-A County there. Mike Chitwood. Hats off to him, huh, Sam?
I hear that. Hillary Clinton's deputy chief of staff, the guy's name is Jacob Sullivan, had to go under oath there, Kurt.
Yeah, he did, Sam. Now, since we're all about making sure that everybody pays for their, problems or whatever. I'm sure Hillary will be paying pretty quick, but not really. WorldNet Daily's bringing this piece together. The Hillary aide under oath. Yes, we used unsecure email for state business. Guy's name is Jacob Sullivan, as you said. He was Hillary Clinton's deputy chief of staff while she was U.S. Secretary of State. Wonder if that means he got to have a little deputy badge. But anyway, he's confirmed under oath that both he and Clinton used her private, unsecure, and unapproved email system for official government business. This story says, it's not that that's been a secret, but the statement was made in a deposition for a lawsuit by government watchdog Judicial Watch. The organization's been fighting for years to uncover the truth about Clinton's mishandling of classified information, which the former FBI director James Comey thought unworthy of prosecution, despite concluding she had been extremely careless. Yeah. Anyway, the bottom line is there's a little bit more brought out about it. Do you think she'll pay, Sam?
Heck no.
I sure hope
and
she
neither
does.
Will Jacob, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
But hey, you know, and this isn't a secret. Most people have known that they've done this. The problem is now it's in court sworn testimony, Kurt. So yeah. Will the wheels of justice grind slow? We can only pray it's so. LPGA star. It's a big golfing lady out there. Her name is Lexi Thompson. She went golfing with the Donald. And she went golfing with good old Rush Limbaugh, Kurt. Things
That's
haven't
right.
been the same since, have they?
Well, she got beat up, Sam. And now we're not talking about physically, but you know, I think she feels
not yet.
Like
we
it.
Pray it doesn't happen.
Yeah, she got beat up on social media, and so she's kind of off social media, Sam, she says. So anyway, LPGA, just in case you don't know what that means, it stands for Ladies Professional Golfing Association.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
I totally knew that.
And yeah, of course you did.
Come on. How would I know all these acronyms, man?
Oh, yeah.
I can't keep up with anything anymore. While we're talking about these two stories Kurt sent me days ago that he's struggling to find, I've got like 20 more I'm trying to save that Kurt sent me. I can't even focus or keep up at all anymore, ladies and gentlemen, when it's out of control.
Yeah. I know.
Right?
It is. Definitely.
So, I mean, it's crazy. Now I got to work on this Rick Korber story while I feed you the next one here. Let me go back out of my paste and news stories section and go back to the next headline for Kurt, and then maybe Kurt will be able to find it.
Yeah.
I'm just highlighting to you guys how this is, ladies and gentlemen. It's just, wow. You can't even function. Anyway, Lexi Thompson basically shut down her whole media presence. She just said, man, I'm not talking, and me golfing with Donald has nothing to do with it. Everybody's being mean and hurtful and hate-filled, and I just got to stop.
Yeah.
Sadly, there's truth to that. But you know what, Lexi? We're not being hate-filled, sister. We pray that your life goes wonderfully, okay?
Yeah.
But Pelosi is kind of ratcheting it up. They complain Donald's the big divider and the big attack everybody guy. But now Pelosi's getting a little bit of her, her own uppity on this one, Kurt?
Well, you know, she's saying that the AG Barr has lied to Congress, and that's a crime. And I'm thinking, well, it kind of makes me think of last hour when Sheriff Mack said, pot calling the kettle black. So, you know, I mean, if we're talking about anybody lying in Congress, I mean, I think we could sure about get rid of most of them for that.
They're not talking about people lying in Congress, Kurt. They're saying he lied to Congress.
Oh, yeah, okay, good.
See what I mean? They're lying in Congress is a standard fare, buddy.
Yeah, good point.
It's kind of like
she
soup in a soup kitchen.
What she's doing.
You know what I'm talking about? Now, lying to Congress, that's just a no-no. Now, lying in Congress, no problem.
Yeah, we can lie here, but
all right.
You can't lie to us.
Yeah. Now, she says he lied to Congress. That's a crime. Didn't they claim he lied, too, and then he didn't? Didn't they claim that Barack lied and he did? And didn't they claim that, Bill Clinton lied and he did? And we're going to punish those guys for their crimes?
No.
All right. Judge postpones sentencing in the Rick Korber fraud case. Now, this is a complicated story most of our listeners don't even know about. But there's a local guy here that got caught up in a big old supposed scandal with regards to real estate. And it was back
in the
2000
pyramid scheme.
Back in the 2008 days. Anyway, Korber wants a hearing to show that the losses were less than half what they are claiming. And the bottom line is this case has been going on forever. We've been watching this thing for what, 10 years now, Kurt, or more?
Right. You know, this is a speedy trial. It's just going on and on and on. Right.
And no matter how many juries and no matter how many judges dismiss this thing, the thugs just keep coming back, buddy.
Yeah,
I mean, it's beyond comprehension. Poor Rick.
The story says he's got a federal public defender. So that means, they basically...
Yeah, you want to know why he's got that?
Where he has no money left.
That's right.
Suppose.
They ran him right out of cash, buddy, and now he's stuck with just a public defender and a hope and a prayer.
And so that's just somebody that works for the government. And going to be protecting him, you know. But she argues, this lady, Catherine Nestor, she argues the government has overstated the seriousness of the offenses and exaggerates the number of victims. So the government's own employee that is acting as the public defender is saying that basically the government's been lying, Sam, right?
Yeah, that's right. But that doesn't matter, Kurt. They're just going to come after Rick tomorrow. Oh, poor Rick. My prayers are with him, and I hope they stop. But I'm just telling you from experience with these out-of-control thugs in government. They're rogue, Kurt. And unless somebody's going to rein them in and stop them, they're just flat-out rogue. They're saying the prayer, National Day of Prayer is unconstitutional. They're running around and, you know, I mean, it's just out of control. Whether it's Rick Korber, Ammon Bundy, I mean, Roy Moore, it just goes on and on and on. It's just crazy town.
Yep.
Our prayers are with Rick, I'm telling you right now. By the way, Donald Trump, Fed nominee, withdraws amid backlash. I guess he made comments on women in sports. Who are we talking about, Kurt?
Well, this is that Moore guy.
Yeah, do you know what his name is? Name.
Stephen Moore, I think it was, right?
Is it S-T-E-P-H-E-N-M-O-O-R-E? Yeah.
Like you say, it's just a little tough to keep track of.
Oh, I got to try to write this down because it says the Tred Fed nominee, but it doesn't say which one. And the problem is Donald's put up two nominees, Kurt, that have both backed out now. So
and
when
Herbie
you don't say
Cain
the name,
said,
it's kind of confusing.
And this guy, you know, he says he's out. And what I was thinking after I saw this, I thought, well, President might as well just go ahead and nominate Ron Paul to eliminate the Fed.
Well, I wish, but Donald doesn't have the guts for that.
Well, I mean, you know, we could hope. I mean, he did all this prayer thing. I mean, you know, if everybody's going to just withdraw, he might as well just go ahead and bring in, like, Judge Roy Moore and, you know, Ron Paul. I mean, let's just let her rip, President. You know?
Yeah, I personally think it would have been smart for Donald to stand by his guns and for Moore not to back down. But see, they're digging back 10 plus years for divorce stuff. And they're literally saying, oh, my gosh, he's not very kind to women. And, you know, as if the Democrats, you know, as if Joe Biden's like super kind to women.
But wouldn't it be cool, Sam, if he just said, look, hey, all the guys I wanted to put on the Fed, you know, to make you guys happy, have said no because you're just going after them. So I'm just abolishing the Fed. I found out we can just get rid of it. We're going to make America great again and restore honest money. It says it right here in the Constitution.
Since the National Day of Prayer was yesterday, I just say we keep the prayers a rolling, buddy.
Yeah,
amen.
Keep
I
making
hope so.
America great again.
Well, hey, you know, someone's got to do it.
I mean,
Kurt.
Why not? You know?
Well, hey, someone's got to work on this stuff hard, in my opinion.
And that's right.
I get that a lot of it seems negative and impossible. But, I mean, they're running around trying to sell you fake meat called the Impossible Burger. So if we're going to talk about the impossible, I'm going to double down and say, hey, it's possible.
Yeah, that's
now,
right.
I know it's a long shot. I get it. But, man, wasn't this nation built on a long shot, Kurt?
Yeah, well, that's right. And, by the way,
right,
Sam,
I find myself in good company then, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we've got a you know, way that you can get yourself a $100 trillion bill, ladies and gentlemen.
It's fake, folks.
Well, I know, but it's from the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe. But if you want, we have them available now in the Liberty Roundtable bookstore. Just contribute any amount to, you know, the Liberty News Radio or Liberty Roundtable. We'll send you out a $100 trillion bill.
Yeah.
You can be the first 100 trillionaire on your block.
Now, Kurt just sent me another email about Facebook creating their own fake currency, and that's true. And I've saved that for a discussion with Brian, Kurt. So
yeah, good.
It'll be a little bit. We'll save that story. You know, see, I try to organize it to go with certain guests. Like, I try to a lot of times save the sheriff stories for, you know, Richard Mack, and I try to save the money stories for Brian, and I try to, you know, organize it like that. The Ron Paul and the Rand Paul stories I save for our buddy Lowell Nelson, Campaign for Liberty. Vaccine stories I save for our buddy Alan Phillips. You know, so we got a bunch of guests that are just star-studded rock star guests that come on the radio with us every week, every day, every month, and we try to highlight their expertise. I save tax stories for our buddy Pete Sepp, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. I mean, this is Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. There ain't no talk show on the planet like it. Hard-hitting, in-your-face talk radio. We have an incredible balance, though, between hard-hitting and, well, soft enough to follow the Prince of Peace. That's a row-to-hoe tough balance. But you know what? When you promote God, family, and country and protect life, liberty, and property and focus on principle, it gets easier by the second. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.